Hello and welcome to the Michigan District's Innovative Missional Ministry Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner. Today, we're blessed to be joined by Deb Ellinger, who has built one of those innovative missional ministries in Ellie's house. And a lot of people know you, Deb. They know about Ellie's house, but why don't you give us a little idea for those who don't know about who you are and who you help?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. So we are two things. We are a street outreach ministry. We minister to women who are being trafficked or enforced prostitution on the streets of Detroit on the east side. So we feed them, we provide hygiene for them, clothing, transportation, if they need transportation to doctor's appointments, anything like that, we'll pick them up and do that. We also talk to the drug dealers on the street and a developed relationship with them. The other thing we just started doing is just actually building relationship with the residents in the community. So the people that live in the community who also are interacting with these men and women on a daily basis, we just started kind of loving on them so we could just be an impact in the entire community. And that has been extremely beneficial just for what we do and just to kind of bridge the gap between women and men that they see as difficult and troublemaking. That we kind of are showing them that actually they just are human beings who just need a lot of love. And so that's been really helpful to us. We also have a house where we house two women. So women can stay with us for up to 2 years rent-free. We will provide medical, mental health treatment, life skills if they want to go back to school, if they need their GED, if they want to take college classes, we'll help them get a job. We give them a stipend so they can learn to budget their own money. And then once the 2 years is up, the goal is that they would have a job and learn to be self-sufficient in some other type of housing program.
So how did all of this get started?
Yeah, so I used to be a police officer. And during that time, I investigated sex crimes. And I really learned about the sex industry, prostitutes, and I learned about victims who had been sexually assaulted, but I learned a lot about the predators. And so I kind of took all that information and felt like God was calling me to just really love on a group of people that most people saw as difficult to love or not even worthy of being loved. And I just feel like God really called me to say, you know what, these are like my children and you should go and love them. And not a lot of people are doing it. So I had a lot of knowledge about what it looked like to work in the sex industry and to be sexually assaulted. And so I think that was just like God preparing me to do something bigger and better.
So 2020 has been an interesting year to say the least, especially for you at Ellie's house. A lot of highs and a lot of lows. Let's start with the highs.
Yeah.
Tell us about Charity Week and a local high school that helped out quite a bit with Ellie's house.
Yeah, so Troy Athens, which is the high school that my kids all attend or have attended, each year they do a charity week, and each year you have to apply and then you have to like interview for the process. And so we had been chosen for the final four 2 years, but never got picked. And so this year I wasn't actually going to apply because I didn't want to be denied a third time. And my daughter convinced me on the last day that our application was due to turn it in. And so we made the final four again, and then we were selected. And so if you don't know how Athens Charity Week works, they basically spend the whole week, very limited time in the classroom, and they just raise a ton of money in any creative way that they can. So they have dance-offs with teachers, they sell things, they have games. I mean, everything you can imagine in a creative way to raise money. And every year that we've been there, they've raised over six figures. So just in comparison, most high schools on an average raise 10,000, maybe 20,000. This year, they raised the largest amount they had ever raised, and it was over $180,000. So it was amazing.
Just your thoughts on and how blessed you feel when you saw in just that whole week transpiring, and then, you know, obviously the money that was raised.
Yeah, I honestly could not believe it. Like I, in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to be happy with whatever. Right. But we as an organization really felt the love from the community. So we were just in the community all week. So it was really cool to interact with people and be able to meet people who were, became really passionate about what we do. One group of boys said that this charity week and what they learned about trafficking and prostitution changed them, completely changed them. And those boys have been in contact with me all summer, helping with Can Drive that we're having. And so there's been a lot of relationship and I think a lot of awareness that people didn't have. And it kind of changed the way their eyes saw things. And so it was a blessing to have the money, but it was a huge blessing to develop the relationships with those people that we did.
All right. Obviously that was one of the big highs for you, for Ellie's house. 2020 has also thrown a lot at us. Talk about what's happening on the streets right now of Detroit, and especially due to the coronavirus.
Yeah. So when the coronavirus first started, it was interesting because most people on the street really didn't feel the impact yet as it started. As it grew and as the pandemic lasted longer, the impact was starting to kind of be experienced on the street. The one thing that we struggled with the most was trying to find treatment programs because everybody closed down their programs. So Salvation Army is a program we use very consistently. It's the one place in Michigan where I can make a phone call. We can get somebody in. They don't need a driver's license. They can be drunk. They can be high. And they shut everything down. And so most places, I actually couldn't find one single place that was taking anybody in the thick of it. And so you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're living in poverty, you're addicted, and now you actually are starting to get scared. So you think maybe this is the time I should go get help. I have more people ask me for help to go and get detoxed or get drug treatment during that time because they were so fearful and we absolutely had no place for them to go.
Yeah, just heartbreaking. I mean, we hear about small businesses folding, but you know, talking about lives right now and addiction, it's just got to be so tough for anybody that was in that situation. It's got to be tough for you even dealing with that situation, knowing all these people that need that help.
Yeah, yeah, it was extremely hard going out there. We increased our time going out there so we could be on the streets more, and it was it got weary after a while because there just wasn't anything you could do but just love on people and pray with them. And that's really what we did. It's amazing. It's God's grace, but nobody that we interact with had the virus, which I can't even believe that.
Yeah. What's it like right now? Obviously, you know, we've got an uptick in cases in the coronavirus as we talk right now. But we are also right in the middle of a heat wave that's just making things even more miserable on top of everything else.
Yeah, so most of the people we interact with sleep at abandoned houses. And this last week when we were out, there's just lots of tears. They're hot, they're tired. Those are the two things I hear of the most. They're just tired. And then people say, well, why don't they leave? And I've been hearing the same statement from several people that it's not just the addiction to drugs, but it's actually the addiction to the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that can seem hard for our brains to comprehend that. But when you have been so accustomed to living in that particular lifestyle, no matter how unhealthy it is, they're really moving on to something else just seems like the scariest thing one person could ever do. I mean, we have two people out there. One's been out there since she's 10 and another one since she's 12. And now they're, you know, in their 30s. So this has been their life.
Switching gears a little bit now, so many huge stories through 2020. You mentioned that you were a police officer. Obviously, with the death of George Floyd and everything that's transpired since that, has to give you a unique perspective on that topic, especially since you were a former police officer.
Yeah, yeah. So I really think that there's a lot of good cops out there, and I think that genuinely people want to do their best. I do think racism is alive and well. I do think that what happens to George Floyd should have never happened. Right after that, we could see a little bit of tension on the street. you could kind of feel that tension. When we're on the street, if I ever bring up law enforcement, there is a lot of tension involved with even having that interaction. And so one of the things we've done is try to bridge that gap by having trainings at the precinct that we're in, building community and building relationships with the police officers so that maybe there'll be a little bit less stress when the interaction happens. For me, I think when it comes to law enforcement, I think we've missed the boat in two areas. One, I don't think we do a very good job at mental health evaluation. I think any officer who's taking the mental health evaluation knows exactly what to say to get through that psychological evaluation. And I think the other thing we don't do is we don't build relationship with the community. And by I don't mean just having community policing. I think community policing is huge. Those guys are in the school. They're doing awesome things in the community. But I think it's awesome if you just had guys go out and sit with people in the neighborhood one day. You pay them. Like, hey, you're not going to be taking crime reports today. You're actually going to be out and learning about Susie and Betsy and Charlie and learn about their life and build that relationship. And we've never, our departments have never done that.
Yeah, you see these stories, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, you know, and they always hit home when you see a police officer jumping in on a with a group of teens playing basketball with them or marching alongside them even, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot to be said about just loving people.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that Ellie's House is built on, is building those relationships and loving people, isn't it?
Yeah, I really think there's a lot. I think there's a big connection between building relationship and loving people and then people being successful, right? Like, I think if you love somebody where they're at and they decide to go get treatment and you navigate that process with them, you walk alongside of them during that process, I think their chances of staying in recovery and being healthy are a lot better than if you just put someone in a program and say, hey, good luck. I think our program does that. That's what's unique about it, because we're small and we're able to do that. And so for us, I hear girls say all the time, like, we are so thankful to have a relationship with you. So
you've had a ton going on, especially lately. Just recently held a can drive. So, and from what I hear, was very successful, correct?
Yeah, we are still returning cans. And so we gave everybody till July 12th to return them. It will probably go past that because we just have so many cans. But it's awesome. So it's been a huge help. People were happy to unload their cans on us, and we're happy to go return them.
So can we still get involved in this then?
Yeah, of course. You can always get your cans to me if you want. You can just connect with me and I can either send someone to pick them up or we can meet someplace and we'll take them off your hands with a smile on our face.
That's awesome. What do you have going on next? Because I know you're never sitting still. There's always something, and it's always something pretty big too.
Yeah. So we, as a board right now, are discussing our next house project. We have a house, our original house that we purchased, which is an amazing building. It needs a lot of work. So we're deciding if we're going to keep that and start working on that, or if we're going to buy another house and that needs less work where we can house more women. So I feel like we're at a place where we can actually start housing 6 or 8 women, and I think we can manage it with excellence. And so our goal is that we would have some housing. There's just so limited housing right now. And I get calls all the time. And so I would love to be able to provide that for people in the community.
Looking at getting a new home, mm-hmm. The can drive still going on. Is there anything else that's in the mix, in the works?
No, that is really about it. Although we are running low on food. So if anybody would ever want to donate snack stuff, we went through. So Athens packed up thousands of snack packs for us, and we've gone through almost all of them during the pandemic. So our food supply is starting to decrease a little bit. So we're always looking for things that you would pack in a kid's lunch, and we're happy to pick them up too.
How can people get involved?
Yeah, so you can either email me at elliehouse313@yahoo.com, or you can text me or call me at 586-242-9280.
Deb, we really appreciate your time. I know it's been a crazy 2020, but you've been able to do some amazing things, and we'll continue that throughout this year and many years to come.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love having time to talk with you, so I appreciate you.
We want to thank you for listening to the Innovative Missional Ministries podcast on Ellie's House. We want to thank Deb for joining us today. You can find more of our podcasts online at themichigandistrict.org.